Network in operation tonight, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
Hi, I'm Pete Kirchhoff, inviting you to join me every Thursday at 9 a.m. for New Morning, the WGXC Morning Show. We'll have news headlines, weather updates, the 9:30 coffee break, first take, and a mix of rock and roll, folk, country, blues, and soul. That's all on New Morning, Thursdays from 9 to 11 a.m., only here on WGXC ACRA.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the second Wednesday already in November. I don't know the date. I think it is. It's Wednesday, November 14th. This is Holly Tanner. I'm solo for about the first 15 minutes of the show. Justin had an appointment, but he will be joining us shortly. I'm trying to adjust my levels here. So Justin will be here soon, but thanks for tuning in. This is something to talk about here on 90.7 FM, WGXC, live local radio. I'm happy to be back, and I have a special guest here with me today. Welcome to PJ Keeler.
Hi, Holly.
Hi there. I'm good. How are you, PJ?
Good. You're not
thanks
solo. I'm
for
here.
Coming in. That's right. You are here. That is a good point. So, PJ, if you don't know, I don't know how you don't know this, but PJ is our county treasurer, and so we figured it'd be a good time, you know, fall. People think about elections, obviously, and the weather and holidays coming up. But one thing that it is, especially for county governments and local governments, is budget time. So I figured it'd be a good time to bring PJ in. And now we can't really talk about the budget in specifics. Is that true, PJ?
That's correct. We're still formulating the budget. We've almost got it down. And it will be presented to the Board of Supervisors in the very near future.
Right.
But
so we don't want to give
anything
away.
Don't have any specifics yet.
Right. There's no real trade secrets yet to be thrown out there. It's still in the process, if you will, in the works. But right. I spoke with the chairman of the board earlier. You actually have a board meeting this evening, correct?
That's correct.
Full
yes.
board tonight, but
yep.
The budget won't be until...
It will not be. No.
Yeah, December.
I believe the budget workshop is going to be December 4th.
Okay, very good. All right. So what can you tell me? He told me something that we should talk about, and I can't remember what it was. But I see you have some notes, PJ. So what do you have that you want to share with us? How is the budget process going?
Well, it's going very well. It actually started back in July. The controller's office, Ron Campanera, basically puts out a budget report to all the departments. It basically shows what the department's budget was the prior year, how much they had spent out of that prior year, what they used, and then what they had spent in the current year up until the end of July. So that gives the departments some insight as to where they're heading in their current budget, so they can think about it and try to formulate the upcoming budget for the year 2019.
I remember getting that.
You
yes.
do, huh?
Yes,
well,
I do.
Good.
I do remember getting
it. And you decreased it by 20%, I heard.
Sure, I did. I did. I think I did. I tried. Yep. Was that all we asked for this year, you
oh,
guys?
Yeah,
20%
yeah. Right,
decrease?
Right, right. No, seriously. And then once those budget sheets are completed, they basically then bring them back to their home committees. which they report to. They set up the home committees. The chairman of each committee sets up a special budget hearing for their departments, and they go over their budgets line by line. And then they are submitted back to the controller's office, and the chairman of the board, who is actually our budget officer, who review the budgets, put it all together in a spreadsheet, an easy-to-read spreadsheet. And then the chairman of the board, Matt Morrell, appoints a subcommittee, a bipartisan subcommittee, to review all the budgets, which includes myself and Ron Campanera and a few supervisors. Michael Reardon, who is the HR director, as well as involved, and people from the controller's office are involved. And we start the arduous process of the Christmas wish list that everybody presents.
Going through the budget.
And going through the budget. This year was a pretty good budget. We had we weren't too far out of whack in the beginning. We've started excessively high in the future. But I think department heads have come to realize that that's probably not going to happen.
Like here where the lights just went out.
Exactly. Well, I guess the power's still on.
Hopefully we're still on the air, so that's fine.
Right.
That hasn't happened at a county building yet. That's good that the lights go out.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Not sure. So,
So, anyway, that process continues. We have several meetings over that. We look at everybody's request, department by department, the justifications for it, and try to work on the budget from there.
So now it's been a while since we've had any of you guys on, PJ. So for our listeners maybe who aren't familiar with, you know, the county's form of government and how it all works. You mentioned the supervisors and the committees and department heads. So Columbia County is a county that is run by a board of supervisors, right? You want to fill our listeners in a little bit about that, how that works?
That's correct. Each town supervisor serves at the county level on the county board. They then elect every year a chairman of the board, and that's how our form of government works.
It's not an anger. It just slams like that. We
that
found
wasn't
that.
That wasn't a bomb.
No. That was the door.
All right. That's a good thing.
We're budgeting for a new door spring for this door for the building here.
Well,
but
that's good.
Yeah.
So anyway, these supervisors, the chairman of the board appoints committees made up of these supervisors, and department heads report to their particular committee. We think it's a very good form of government. Seems to be close to the belt.
Right.
Everybody's aware of what goes on, and I think it seems to work well.
Now, I know we're one of the few counties left in the state that actually still has a board of supervisors on the county level that manages county business.
Right.
But I also tend to agree with you, PJ, that it's a fine form of government. It works in Columbia County. Other counties that have a legislature, which I know has kind of been bandied about in Columbia County at different times, it's just an extra layer of government.
Right.
And it really kind of takes the towns out of county business.
Yeah, it doesn't make them feel so close to the business that I'm not in tune with what's going on. And it, you're right, it does add an extra layer of government. And with the extra layer of government comes an extra layer
cost.
Of expense.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's got to pay
for
it.
One of the things we try to weed out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the department heads come up with a budget every year of, and it is helpful. Now, I've been doing this for 16 years, but even before that, I would do the board budget. It has changed a lot. Technology has you know, improved things. We used to get sheets that you'd have to review, and now it's all on the computer. It's digitized to some extent, so you can see prior years what you've budgeted for. So essentially, departments are just looking to what is it that the board is approving for them? Like, what kinds of things are they? Is it furniture? Is it personnel costs? Is it expense of running business? Like,
the answer is yes.
Okay, good.
All of the above. It's the personnel costs. Obviously, there's wage increases depending upon union contracts that have to be factored in.
Mm-hmm.
That all has to be included. If there's extra purchases that a particular department wants, we have to figure that out in the budget, how we can afford that. The key that since I've been in, and obviously before me, as always, we try to back into our budgets. We try to keep the tax increase to an absolute minimum. if at all possible, which we have done over the last several years. One of the amazing things I think that we've done in the last 4 or 5 years is that out of our total tax of $40 million that we send out to our taxpayers, we've only raised taxes 0.7% over since 2012.
Wow.
So I think that's phenomenal.
That
I mean,
is
it's
remarkable.
Extremely, extremely well below the tax cap. We've worked on that a number of ways. We have been able to control costs through the controller's office. We've been able to increase revenue through the treasurer's office. We have a centralized business office now that we've put together that eliminates a lot of duplication in government and government services. We have become self-insured with our insurance policies as far as health insurance, and that's basically saved us over $1 million a year.
Wow.
So we continue to look for more ways to be able to save.
Right, and to be accountable to the taxpayers.
Right.
We understand that. That's very important.
We're all taxpayers.
Yes, we are. There is that.
Yep.
it's not our money, but it kind of is our money.
That's correct.
So do you get into the nitty gritty of like down to the like fine tooth comb of purchases, like what departments are asking for?
No.
Or is it more of a broad sense?
It's more of a broad sense.
Okay.
More of a total budget. If a department comes in and say they need $1,000 for office supplies next year, it's really based off of what they used last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we take a look at their increase or decrease in funding. And the one thing that we've been able to institute in departments, and I thank them for all the department heads and all their hard work, is that they've come to realize that just because the money is in their budget doesn't mean they have to spend it.
Right.
I know there was an old way of thinking out there that if I don't spend it this year, I won't get it next year.
Right, that was it.
That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is considered on a case-by-case basis, and obviously the less we can spend, the more our fund balance is able to increase and the less tax we'd have to raise in the following year. And I think people are educated now as far as that goes.
Right. And how are our revenues doing, PJ? How is the county doing?
The county's doing very good. Fiscally, we're in very good shape. New York State has come up with a fiscal stress score, which they started a few years ago, about 4 years ago.
Oh.
At that point in time, they were noted that we were susceptible maybe to some fiscal stress due to the lack of cash that we had on hand. I'm happy to report that as of last year, the end of 2017, we're in no longer in fiscal stress whatsoever. We're in good shape. Our sales tax has been very beneficial, not only to the county, but also to the towns. Because as you know, Holly, we turn a portion of that sales tax back over to the towns, which in turn helps them with their budgeting and be able to drive the taxpayer costs down as well.
Right, their tax levy is lower. Does every county do that with their sales tax? Really?
No.
Columbia County is a...
Some counties do.
Trendsetter, if you will, or we're just...
Well, some counties do return money.
Yeah.
I know for a fact Greene County does not.
Oh, so the county keeps all the sales
county
tax
keeps
revenue.
All the sales tax.
Wow.
You know, obviously, as a treasurer, that'd be nice to keep all that. But on the other hand, one hand washes the other.
Right.
Return back to the town, helps the towns, which in turn helps the county.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yep. And that's good to hear.
And
that
the city. I should include the city in that.
Yes, the city of Hudson. That's right. That's good to hear, though, that sales tax revenues are doing well.
Yeah, there's partly it's driven by we were actually at the end of the third quarter this year. One of the highest percentage increase in sales tax in the state. We're up over 7%. The average is about 6%.
Wow.
If you take New York City out, it's like 5-point-something%.
Wow.
So part of it's driven by, I think there's about a 15-16% increase in the price of fuel, gas.
Right.
And in addition to that, the economy's strong.
Yeah.
People are spending, and I think tourism is alive and well in Columbia County.
Yes, it is.
And that's
absolutely
due to a lot of issues. And I think the people have discovered Columbia County, and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we enjoy having them.
That's right. It's good on we're on the map, and it is a marvelous thing. So we welcome all of the tourism and the money that they want to spend here in Columbia County. Welcome with open arms. Now, I do know that mortgage tax, for example, though, we've been about steady. I compared the numbers to last year, and it was right around, it might have been a, you know, $20,000 or $40,000 increase this time frame compared to last time frame. But it's been about even, which, you know, the housing market has still, it's still kind of level. It's not really, we haven't seen the dramatic spikes in home sales. And look who's here. It's Justin Weaver, who's joining us fashionably late.
Good.
You remember PJ, right? He's going to get his coat off. So yeah, have you seen that in the home sales that there? It's kind of.
I think there's a two-pronged situation in regard to mortgage tax. Obviously, you'd know well hand that it's based on if people take a mortgage.
Right.
A lot of the sales, what I've heard from realtors, a lot of them are just cash sales.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's no mortgage tax involved.
Right. And that does hurt.
In addition to that, I don't know for sure, but I have heard that there is. Starting to be a little bit more inventory as far as homes on the market than there was maybe a couple of years ago.
It's the weather.
Yeah, okay.
Good segue.
Justin's going to tell us about that weather. I hear you,
buddy.
Hey, Justin.
My understanding
welcome.
Is that there's not good things coming.
No, there's not. Well, it depends on if you like snow or not. Right. I love snow. So we are getting some snow tonight and Thursday into Friday.
Thursday into Friday, right.
And I, from my sources have told me that up
near
Albany, people were having to, you know, ditch off the road into like a diner and get some horrible omelets because the roads were completely undrivable.
No offense to any diners.
I know. Well, I don't have the name. I just saw the Facebook post. But
no, there's been lots of posts. There was 3 hour delays on the roads in and out of anyway into Albany. Was a nightmare because of icy bridges. Apparently, they closed.
The Patroon Island Bridge was closed down.
Patroon Island Bridge, yes, both ways.
I wonder how much of it is actually the weather, and it's more about the people that are so shocked to see the first snowfall that they're looking all over the place and causing accidents that way.
Well, I think it was the black ice. Remember, bridges freeze first.
Yes,
because they're
that's correct.
They're not. There's no ground under them.
Right.
That's
however,
why they're
Justin
bridged,
is
so.
Right, though. Usually, even around here,
you get the rubber.
The rubber neckers.
Yes,
and with the first snowstorm, people forget
it is
how
very
to drive
pretty.
In the snow.
Well, yes.
I wouldn't consider
it's
what we just
pretty.
Had even up there a storm. I consider it a storm
squalls.
Like
yeah.
8 inches or more.
Wow. Think big, Justin.
You're looking at me.
That's a storm, all right, honey.
Holly, you look beautiful
thank
today.
Thank you,
I
dear.
Like your blouse.
Thank
is that
you.
New?
I've had this ride, but I've had
she's
lots of
this
compliments
blue
on this
shirt. That's like
blouse.
Pinstripe.
I do have a new bra.
You have
a new bra.
I knew something
I
was
have
different.
A new bra.
She's got a new bra.
Yes,
okay.
So maybe that's making
and
the
PJ,
shirt
anything
thank
new
you.
On you?
Hi, PJ. Poor PJ. He's like, oh,
now,
my
you know
Lord.
What? I'm not going there.
Okay, we don't have to.
So we were talking, Justin, about the state of the county finances and how we're doing and the budget process. So Justin, in records management, you know, I included stuff for records management in the budget so that we can move forward with our plans. So, but we're doing quite well in Columbia County. We're knock on wood, it's been another good year, right?
Yes. Actually, in 2017, we actually had our best financial year. We ended up with $1.4 million in excess revenue over expenses.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. And again, a credit to all the department heads and all the work and effort that they do.
And there's good leadership right from the top on down, from the chairman of the board, who's the budget officer.
That's
and
correct.
PJ yourself as treasurer and
yep.
Ron, I'll even give him a shout out. Why not?
Ron Capanera.
Well. We have a great team in place. Everything
it is a
works
good team.
Well. And I'll
yes.
be honest with you, the total board of supervisors
are right.
very supportive in the efforts that we make. And I think it is showing off at
it
this
works.
Point in time.
Yeah.
So let's hope it continues.
It does seem to be a cohesive group. You mentioned that it's a bipartisan committee.
That's correct.
I was around when it was more of just you know, not that way. And not that it didn't work, but, you know, it's nice that we are here in Columbia County. We're inclusive and, you know, there's nothing to be done with shutting other parties out. So
I think we've become much more transparent.
Right.
And I think that makes a huge difference.
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Any questions, Justin, about the budget?
So the budget, you're getting the money from taxes, right? Is it any specific tax? Are there a variety of taxes where you get all the money for the budget?
Excellent question, Justin.
Wow, what a question.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, and actually,
I'm not just a pretty face here.
It all
just another pretty face.
Yeah.
Actually, we've got a new revenue source this year, and it's going to come from records management.
That's right.
Well,
yes.
You know, I believe that because we are doing really
did good. I asked for a new line item for that.
Right,
yeah.
We're right.
Doing. And we're very big proud of records. That.
Thank you. Yeah.
You get back to your real question.
Yes, yes, yes.
We have revenue sources that are derived from many areas. Out of a $140 million budget, we have taxes that we send out, property taxes of about $40 million. Our other revenues are sales tax, mortgage tax, state aid and federal aid.
DMV,
departmental income. And again, hats off to Holly. She's always toasted the fact that she's the only department that is completely independent because she brings in more money than she spends, which is great.
Thank you.
We all count on that.
Thank
that's for
you.
Sure. Keep her around.
Thank you.
So there are many sources of revenue. But like I said, the best part is, you know, out of a $140 million budget, our tax levy is only about $40 million. And like I explained to Holly earlier, that levy has only gone up 0.7% in the last 4 to 5 years,
now,
which
that's
is phenomenal.
That's cumulative with all of the the different taxes? Because there might be some taxes that go up where others go down. Or do you see just generally across the boards they stay relatively the same, all the different types of taxes?
No, certainly state and federal aid bounce up and down depending upon when they decide to pay us. A lot of departments voucher for reimbursement for state aid and federal aid. And you know as well as I do, things that go on at the state and especially at the federal level, whereby they'll tend to release money at certain times and hold it back at other times. Mm-hmm. And that affects us tremendously. And that's one of the reasons why we need to have a sufficient fund balance so that we can continue to pay our bills. We did institute a fund balance policy this past March, which the Board of Supervisors approved. That sets minimum and maximum fund balances, and so that it's an enhancement to the taxpayer in the fact that when we hit minimums, we need to strive to maintain that, and when we hit maximums, we can reduce the tax levy as well. So I think that's a huge, huge step that we've taken.
Now, I think we definitely had PJ on before. Was it a couple years ago that you were on?
Yeah, I said it's been a while since
you were at another location. I remember that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Definitely, we were up there.
It's a good thing I asked Holly yesterday.
He was going to show up.
Were you going to go up there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been that long. So I want to say it's been...
Yeah, a couple years.
Two
or three.
Sure.
I mean, I think it might have been three because he was probably one of our first guests that we've had on.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
I think I remember that.
It was you and Jim.
It was one of your first times.
Right.
Yes.
And then after that, Holly extended the invitation.
It might have been the exact first
right.
one.
And I said how lucky you were. True. I didn't get the invitation.
You might have been the very first one.
That's right. Yes, I think it was the first time I asked you to be on, Justin. And then...
Yeah.
Look where we've come a long way, baby. Look where we've come from. So, yeah.
And oh, by the way, congratulations to Holly on your reelection.
Well, thank you, PJ.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
Thank you
at the
so
county,
much.
And
I appreciate that.
I think it shows.
I do. I want to say thank you to all the voters in Columbia County. I really was quite, I couldn't believe the vote that I had highest in the county, I will say, and I'm humbled and really honored to be back serving as your county clerk, and for all that support and love, I love you all back.
Aww.
Just as much. It's wonderful. So thank you. Thanks, PJ, very much.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back.
Well, I just
keep generating that revenue.
I'm working on it. I was out typing this morning. We've got dealer work. You're right about the economy, the car sales. We have been quite steady all year. I mean, really, we've been nonstop with downstate dealer work with the people buying cars. So in that regard, the economy is doing quite well. Normally we have a slump in car sales, but mm-hmm. it's been very busy. So, yeah. Which is great. We'll take it. We want the work. So yep. bring it on.
That's so good. I don't know if you're a Facebook person, but recently there was a lot of stuff that happened at a publicized budget committee meeting, or it was going to be a budget committee meeting. Do you, as the county treasurer, talk with the budget committee? Constantly?
Yes.
How does that work out?
We actually have committees that are set up by Matt Morrell, who's chairman of the board, mm-hmm. and it's a bipartisan committee. I explained to Holly earlier, and we meet regularly, probably 4 or 5 times during the budget season to review the budget. Yes, it's a transparent budget process, and that budget is now being worked on and being finalized as we speak. As a matter of fact, this week, the chairman has to submit the budget to the clerk of the board to have on file, and we will continue to work on that budget. We like to move the process along as late as we can to make any refinements, including additional revenues that maybe we didn't anticipate, and then it will be presented to at a budget workshop for the board, and I believe that date is December 4th before the budget is fully adopted at the December full board meeting.
Right.
There was lots of pushback and animosity because the Boys Club money was being taken away from the Boys Club, or that's what was
right. This was in the city of Hudson.
In
so
the city of Hudson,
they had right. I think it was
Nick
their
Zatchos.
Department meeting. I think it was the youth department's budget meeting when the mayor was speaking.
Yes.
And so a member of the public, you know, actually came in and threw dog poo at the mayor. I'm sure you heard about that, PJ.
Matter of
fact,
I did hear about that.
Has that ever happened at
no,
a county meeting?
No, not at all.
Not to
even
my knowledge either.
Not even at all. I think our budget process, like I say, is very transparent. And again, I think you're going to find out, the taxpayers are going to find out, they'll be happy, very happy with this particular budget as well as they are, were with all previous budgets. Our tax increase, I anticipate, will be a lot lower than this city of Hudson that was just announced, and I think mm-hmm. people will be happy with that.
No, actually, they have, because we've mentioned this before, too, because I asked, do you really get in like a fine-tooth comb of what departments are doing? And the answer is no, because that's more at the committee level. So we would hope, though, that would never, I mean, I myself as an elected official and someone who answers to the public, you know, if you have an issue with me or something you want to talk, please don't throw anything at me, but come talk to me and let's figure this out in a civil manner. So I thought that was really inappropriate and really sad.
Well, I know how you want to be heard and you want to be taken seriously, and
right.
you think the right way to go about that is
right.
to throw dog poop at somebody that you
right.
want to listen to you.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And did they catch that person?
I don't think so yet. No. And we're supposed to be having Mayor Rector will be our guest at our next mm-hmm. show to talk about this and the subsequent, I hate to say it, backpedaling, because Nick, the person who was in question, was
Zatchos.
Restored to his
yes.
position, which is fine, you know, and I don't know the internal workings, nor do I want to, of the city of Hudson in that decision. But just as a matter of, again, general civil discourse, I mean, it's fine to be unhappy with a decision, but to take it to that level of uncivility is
yes.
really sad.
It's worse.
So I hope that doesn't happen again, because no one deserves that, especially not Mayor Rector. I think he's doing a fine job.
I do as
well.
That's
for
personally.
Sure. That's for sure.
He's very good to work with.
Yeah.
PJ, you mentioned, well, actually, you didn't mention it, but I was thinking about this. So, you know, election talk. So you're elected. The county treasurer is an elected position.
That's correct.
And how long has this been for you?
Let's see. I was elected in office in 2012.
So this would be your...
This would be... I'm in my seventh year.
Yes.
Right.
So it's your second term.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So because they're a 4-year term. So
yes.
And you would be... Are you? Can we talk about your plans for the future?
I don't want to be president.
Darn. Darn it.
Me either. What about governor? Would you like to run for governor?
It's a negative. Nope. I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. One of the things I enjoy doing what I'm
so
doing.
So can
is
we
obviously
have an exclusive? Are you going to run for treasurer again?
An exclusive? Well,
yes.
I would certainly enjoy being asked to run for treasurer again. I've enjoyed it very much. I think we've done a lot for the taxpayers and for the county as a whole. The one thing I do enjoy when we're talking about having open offices, I know, Holly, you have your door is always open.
Absolutely.
So is mine.
Yes, it is.
I enjoy talking to people. There are many people out there that I've helped out over the years running into some financial difficulties with their taxes, and we're able to work through some of those issues. Never had anything thrown at me, thank God. Thank God. And we've always worked through things, and that's one of the things I enjoy most is working with people, and I would certainly enjoy the opportunity to continue to do that.
I was going to ask you, are you a numbers guy? Are you fascinated with numbers, or is it more that you actually can see the work that you do and how it benefits the community?
I'm more of a management guy. Being in business for many years now.
Yeah.
Born and raised on a farm locally, delivered milk, so on and so forth. Family is all here. I'm a taxpayer, family man, and a grandfather.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, my expertise, I believe, is in management and working with people and the people skills. You know, you have a lot of people that can do the work. They all have specialty. We have accountants. We have bookkeepers. We have tax specialists that can actually do the work. But the guidance and the people skills that are needed to work with them, I think, are extremely important to the job.
Now, PJ, let's talk quickly about, because I think I mentioned it when it first happened, but let's talk about what you did with the firemen.
Oh, okay.
And the
sure.
There was a mandate that came down
yes.
from the state regarding insurance, and
yes.
this was your plan, so
yeah.
let's
actually, I was at a fireman's convention a couple of years ago, and this plan was first being discussed by our fire association of the state of New York. They call it FASNY. And it was a direct result of the 9/11 and the first responders that were dying from cancers from 9/11. The state of Georgia is the first state to implement this, and actually New York State is the second state to implement this. And when I heard about the program, I thought this is a great program. We went out, we pushed for it. I'm also a fireman as well, and to see if we could get it through, and it did pass. It did go through. But again, it was another one of those unfunded state mandates that I wasn't really prepared for. So in my position as treasurer, I'm also a fire commissioner in Klawerk, and I knew the effect that it would have on our budget. It would push us way over the budget tax cap, and I knew that many fire departments in the county would struggle in handling this financially. So working with other supervisors, the full board, we were able to come up, and Ron Campanera as well, we're able to come up with a plan that would have no tax effect whatsoever on either the towns or the county. We're able to formulate a plan where we can pay for this out of our workers' comp budget. We will be reducing our workers' comp chargebacks to the towns and the city that they participate in, and charging back some of the towns for a portion of this cancer benefit program. So the bottom line is there's no cost whatsoever to any of our volunteer fire companies, and there'll be no tax implications to either the county, the city, or the towns that are involved.
Oh. And what benefit does it give to the fireman or woman?
It's a direct cancer benefit. So if a fireman qualifies for this program, uh-huh. which is 5 years of interior firefighting, and they qualify for it if they're diagnosed with certain types of cancer that are in the state law. There's a direct benefit. There'll be a monthly benefit for a couple of years, and then unfortunately or fortunately, there'll also be a death benefit associated with it as well to help families out.
Okay. But, you know, I know the board, you had presented it to the Board of Supervisors, and then the following month they voted on it and approved the plan.
Yeah, it was unanimous.
Which is awesome.
Yes, and we were the first county in New York State to be able to do this.
Wow.
How long does it
really
take
something.
You to come up with a plan? I mean, because that seems like it would take a long time to figure out the numbers so that there's no increases anywhere else.
Part of my job.
Does it take, I mean, is it, because it seems like, okay, you guys figured it out, but I mean, it's a process. It can't be that easy just to say, oh, we're just going to take away from this and put it here.
Right.
I mean,
it is a process.
Just to give people an idea of what you have to go through to figure this out.
Well, we have to look from the historical aspect of the program itself, and as far as the workers' comp program, we are seeing some savings in our workers' comp program after the sale of Pine Haven Nursing Home, and it was my thought process that we could use some of those savings towards this program, and did work out that way. Talked to several supervisors, bipartisan as well, and everybody was on board with this. There's many, many questions that were involved. There's no question about that, but we were able to come up with a program that I think is a benefit to everybody.
Yeah, that's great news. You know, in Columbia County, you're hearing about all the fires, of course, in California and how horrible that is.
Yeah.
And
all can't imagine.
Firefighters out there doing that. But a lot of, you know, in Columbia County, firemen and women, they're volunteers.
Correct.
So it's up to the fire districts and the communities to support that so that you have someone to call in case of a tragedy. And thank goodness we've been really, really, really wet. So hopefully we don't have fire issues, but...
Now's the time to go to commercial, Holly.
Wow. Hey, now. Lots of rain, Justin Weaver. Lots of rain. Can we stop with the rain? Now we're getting the snow. But they've been very dry, and the Santa Ana winds, I believe, are part of a factor for that. But my point being is that, you know, in Columbia County and most of New York State, there's not really paid fire companies.
In some of the larger cities... There are paid fire departments like the Albany's,
the
Poughkeepsies.
But
in the rural sections, no, everything is volunteer.
Yeah, so...
And, again, I can't imagine, I agree with you, I can't imagine California. Well, the last statistic I saw is like over 7,000 homes and businesses have been burned, and there's like 300 people missing.
Yeah, there's 40, people missing.
42 dead, which is the highest ever fire-related in that state. And there's still 17 fires burning, and I think another one just...
Didn't one start?
Started this morning.
Yeah. Oh, another one this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I heard it on the news as I was coming in.
Awful, awful, awful. So firefighters really put it on the line. So that's great that you came up with this plan, PJ, and are able to provide some sort of relief to something. And I'm planning on hopefully next year starting... we have the Return the Favor program for veterans, but doing a similar... discount card program for volunteer firemen and women in Columbia County. So hoping to start that in January. So stay tuned for more about that. But
that would be well received. I go to fire company meetings, battalion meetings, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Last meeting I was at, they were talking about the benefits and what it takes to get young people involved.
Right.
We have to come up with benefits to be able to keep them involved. Because if it ever goes to a paid service, the cost will be...
Oh, yeah, try to stay under that 2% tax cap there.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But they are the unsung heroes as well.
Sure. So, Justin, can you send some of that snow to California?
Yeah,
I wish I could. I really wish I could. I don't have that. I mean, Mother Nature and I have a love-hate relationship. We're not on speaking terms at the moment, but I'll see what I can do.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to address that?
They really need it. Not really.
Okay.
So, yeah, any other notes then, PJ, that you want to, we're going to take a quick break.
Do we have the
song? It's already 2:38. I think I have the song. I don't know. Is this like an explicit thing? It doesn't really say.
I don't think so.
So pardon us, FCC, if it is. I picked the song Justin wanted. So next week, obviously, is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Something to Talk About with Holly and
Justin
on 90.7 FM. And our special guest has been PJ Keeler. He's going to stick around. We're going to talk Thanksgiving a little bit and some other fun stuff. Yep, talk turkey when we get back. So enjoy this Adam Sandler song, if I can remember. You'd think I hadn't done this before, how to do this. And we'll be back. Okay. And it's not plugged in.
It's coming. So it's Thanksgiving. Here we go.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat, so good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Darryl Strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD. White meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Teague's poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants.
Okay, everyone. Oops. And we're back. Oops. That song selection was by Justin Weaver. It is in no way intended to reflect any thoughts or ideas of the station or the county clerk or the county treasurer. Thank you very much, Justin.
I need to just walk around this county with a disclaimer that just like comes out of me. You know, it's like nobody else is in trouble. Just blame
this. I guess it could have been worse.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I mean, I don't think he cursed, but he did say some words. But we're not going to pay attention to that, right? We did.
It was about turkey.
It was
about turkey and Thanksgiving. We are thankful. So okay, no one rushed in here yet to shut us down totally.
I guess we're still good.
Okay.
So we did have a caller in our first segment, and it's anonymous. Ooh, what does that mean? Anonymous question.
Boy.
Okay. The question is: what do you think about the crosswalk 4 in Hudson? And the fact that one is an elected county official and another is a former elected official. Well, I didn't really know about this until I just did a little research, and I realized that someone had gone ahead and painted their own crosswalk on the road. And for me, it really doesn't make a difference if it was an elected county official or just a regular Joe Schmo off the street. I don't think anybody should be taking it upon themselves to get a can of paint and go paint a crosswalk wherever they feel that they want a crosswalk. There are procedures in place, and you need to get permissions, I'd imagine. And if we all just painted a crosswalk wherever we wanted one, what kind of world would that be? So it's like, you know, there's laws, and I think that's against the law, isn't it? I don't really know that that statute, if that's out there, but yeah, that's it's a road, it's a public road, and it doesn't belong to you. You don't own it, so I don't think you can go and get a can of paint and paint it wherever you want. So there's Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous. There's my response.
That's Justin's opinion, and he's sticking to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very good. All right, so that addresses that.
Yeah, that's it. Any more anonymous questions, feel free to call.
Or non-anonymous.
518-828-0290.
That's right. Very
your anonymous
good.
Tip line. Okay, so moving on.
Turkey talk.
Coming up.
It
what
is.
Do you got there? You got anything good there? Are you...
No, I'm answering a work question about a vehicle sale tomorrow.
Well, I will say, I want to give a big shout out to the First Presbyterian Church here
yes,
in Hudson.
They're doing a... Yes. Thanksgiving dinner.
And it's a tradition of theirs for over 30 years, and they do their community Thanksgiving dinner. So anybody that's listening, if you're interested or if you know of somebody where, you know, they don't have a lot of money or they're struggling this year or they just, you know, or you just want to join in the festivities and have a good time. On Thanksgiving Day, November 22nd, from 12 noon until 2 p.m., at the Christ Church Episcopal. That's where we're located, Holly. Right now, we're in Christ Church Episcopal, 431. No, we're not.
Yes,
oops.
We are.
No, we're not. 431 Union. Oh.
Yeah, no, we're not.
No, we're the First Presbyterian.
First Presbyterian.
Okay, so, yeah, so don't
what?
Get that confused.
Where are we?
Yeah, this is the Christ Church Episcopal that you can go and get a free Thanksgiving dinner from 12
still laughing
to,
about that
12
song.
To 2.
Oh, my God.
It's located at 431 Union Street, and meals can also be delivered to the homebound. And if you want to arrange that, if you want to get a dinner delivered to somebody that needs it and can't get out of their house or just want to be nice, you can send an email to Catherine Bielke, and that's KATHRYN.BIELKE@gmail.com. And you can also use that email address if you're interested in volunteering or donating. So that's once again on November 22nd from 12 to 2 at Christ Church Episcopal, located at 431 Union.
Fabulous.
I love seeing that when people open up their doors and you got all the volunteers cooking for everybody.
Serving.
That warms my heart.
Helping people who need help or maybe need a friend or someplace to go.
Oh, we should also say
on the
that
holidays.
The meal is, with all the fixings is going to be lovingly made by volunteers and the talented Abby Lappin. We'll be serenading everybody with her songs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Very good. So what are you doing, PJ?
We're actually having dinner at our house. I had as long as I can remember, my wife and I. We've always
You're
had
You're hosting?
Yes. Oh. We're always host for friends and family. We usually have quite a large gathering at the house, and because we've been invited elsewhere on different Thanksgivings, but I'm kind of a home guy. And Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Is it?
It is.
How come?
Because I think you can sit down and enjoy a meal without the hustle bustle of some of the other seasons. And actually, the day after is even just as well received.
It is very nice
it
now,
is, to
especially.
Have the leftovers. And yep.
We have the day off now, so county offices will be closed if they can be, except for... the
sheriff's
general,
department,
obviously.
Yeah,
sorry.
911,
sorry,
sheriff's
everyone.
Department.
Yeah. All the necessities, they will be open, but regular county offices will be closed the day after Thanksgiving as well, including the DMV and your clerk's office, but very nice. And I agree. They said on the news this morning, like, Thanksgiving's fun because, yeah, you get to have everyone together, and right. But you don't have to worry about presents.
Exactly.
Spending a lot of money. What about you, Justin? What are you doing?
Well, my dad is unfortunately still in Pine Haven and hopefully recovering.
Yeah.
He's got some medical issues that are going up and down and fluctuating, so the family's staying on top of that. Normally, my mom and myself go to my dad's early in the morning and cook. We kind of made it a tradition over the last 10 years. And now with like little nieces and nephews, we try to pass it on and let them come in and see what we're doing. And we don't really feel that we want to do that at my dad's house without him not being there.
Right.
So we're going to do it at my apartment and my sister's apartment. We live, we're right across the hall from each other. So we'll be going back and forth between apartments and having the family all come over.
Oh, nice.
And probably run out a dish to my dad at Pine Haven.
Oh, right. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is it your favorite holiday, too?
No, Christmas is fine.
It?
I mean, Thanksgiving's right up there because of the family thing.
Right.
And Christmas and Thanksgiving are the two holidays where we really... are all together under one roof because everybody is just always going crazy in different directions.
Right.
But yeah, both, I think they're kind of equal, but I like giving and getting presents. So Christmas will just nudge out Thanksgiving for that.
Always a kid at heart.
Oh, kid at heart. Yes.
That's great. I'm much more of a giver. I do enjoy giving presents more than receiving.
Hey now. Commercial break. Commercial break. See that? Yeah. Not just me. Yeah.
We're embarrassing PJ. Stop it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And Holly, what about you?
Yes,
what are you doing?
So I'll be going to my mother's to cook in the morning for an early meal, and then we're going to my father-in-law's later in the day for a second meal with my husband's side of the family. So yeah, we do two turkeys. I'm not cooking this year. We won't really have a kitchen, so I'm gonna schlep everything down. We're doing some minor remodeling. It's been pushed back. Thanksgiving was supposed to be the deadline, and that's obviously not happening, but that's okay. So,
welcome to the world of construction.
Yes, exactly. So that'll be fine. So I'm going to schlep everything down to my mom's and help her cook because, she doesn't want to do the whole meal. She's 84, but she'll host and we'll have fun. And that way she was trying to say, it's just another day now because my dad passed away. But I'm like, no, it's not, mother. We will all be there and he will cook and smile and have fun. So
yes.
We'll watch the parade. I do like watching the parade.
Yes, I do too.
That's always fun.
PJ, do you cook?
These
or do you
traditions.
Let your wife do everything?
My wife actually does most of the cooking. I'm the labor. Okay.
I
always
dishes?
Say, you want to talk to labor? Or do you want to talk to management?
There you go.
Management handles the cooking.
Does anyone here deep fry their turkey?
No.
Do you deep fry your turkey?
No.
I was looking to see if it was still a thing because for a while there now like deep frying your turkey. But actually, PJ, you being the fire commissioner and involved in the emergency stuff, it's one of the biggest days of household fire calls is Thanksgiving because of people not knowing how to properly deep fry their turkey and either filling it with too much oil and then you drop the turkey in and the oil goes everywhere or it spills. Or
yes, and as EMS coordinator, I've also seen the other side of it burns.
Yeah.
With a cooking oil.
Right.
That's not too pleasant.
No.
So be careful out there.
Be very careful if you are deep frying your turkey.
Now, have you ever heard of the name or the term spatchcock?
Don't worry. We do not need a commercial break. It's a real thing.
This is the process of, you think of butterflying, if you butterfly a chicken breast, you're cutting it and then you're splitting it open and it's just another name for butterflying, but isn't it just
the
more
turkey.
Fun to say? Yeah.
Yes. That's a fun word.
Yeah. Because this way you
say
are,
it again,
you are spatchcock.
Okay, good.
And you're going to slice it down the breast. You're going to open it up and then you're going to take that bone right out. You're going to take the neck
right,
out
so
and the backbone,
so
you flatten it.
Wow.
And the whole process behind, the reason why people do this is because it makes it cook much faster.
Yep.
Right.
And evenly.
Sure.
But I'm trying something different this year, and I'm putting my turkey in an oven bag, which seems to be very popular in Latino households. And I didn't know. And it comes out very, very juicy.
Moist
and your turkey's
juicy.
Done in 2 or 2.5 hours.
Wow, that's a great idea.
So we're going to do an oven bag this
year. I'll pass that along.
Very nice. Yes. So did you spatchcock last year? Your turkey?
My turkey, no.
You didn't. You didn't try it? Because I know we talked about that.
Yeah.
Was that when Nancy was on?
It was when Nancy was on. Yes. And
so you didn't do it, though.
I chickened out. And
yeah,
I'm not going to mess around with that. And I also was I was looking up the preparations of turkey and everything. And, of course, we're going to give you some tips here that we found. Brining is good to keep the moist, to keep your bird moist. And you want to brine that
Denise's
24 hours
word.
Overnight. What, brine?
Yeah.
Or moist?
No, moist. Brine. I love that word.
And basting a turkey does absolutely positively nothing. So it's a waste of time. You're opening up the oven door left and right, and you think that you're adding more moisture to the bird, and really, you're opening the door and letting all the heat out, and it's really messing up your turkey. So I'm going to tell everybody, from my research tells me that basting your turkey should be just X'd out of your whole process. Do you baste your turkey, Holly?
Wow.
I do.
Yes,
I baste.
I know. We've always done
it's
it
a waste
for years
of time.
And years.
It does nothing. It does absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I
maybe
baste.
It's just tradition.
And it seems like it gives you something to do other than sitting there watching
right,
the oven.
Right. Let's go baste
like,
the turkey.
We got to baste the turkey. It's
actually,
a good excuse.
I think that's my job. I
do. You're the baster.
I think that's like, the husband's job. Like, okay, your job. Base the turkey.
Base the turkey. And it is fun.
Makes
you
us
got
feel
the,
like we're doing
the,
something.
The baser thing, and then you're like, it's like you're giving the turkey a bath. Like
yeah, well, I mean, if you have a... If you
it does make it for a nice brown skin, like the coating gets crispy because of the moisture.
Well, and I found out another little tip. Spray the top of your turkey with some Pam or some...
cooking spray?
Yeah, cooking spray, and you're going to get the brown right there. And if you don't want to do a spray, you can just brush it with olive oil on top and just and leave it like that.
A lot of people
that.
Use butter, too. You
can
coat
butter,
the butter on there.
Give it
real
a little
butter.
Flavor.
Real butter. Real that's butter. Right. Support your dairy industry.
Now, do either one of you have a weird food item that is on your table at Thanksgiving that it's not a common thing?
Nothing weird on our part. Mixed vegetables.
Mixed vegetables.
Which really doesn't go with the turkey,
right.
But it's a local favorite.
Like in the can?
Like no.
The corn and
fresh.
The peas and the green.
Fresh.
No. There's corn. We call it Keeler corn because every
Keeler
meal
corn.
You have to have Keeler corn.
Oh.
We're big corn eaters.
Oh. Well, what separates regular whole kernel corn from Keeler corn?
Well, it's just a special
just
name we give it. It's just a special name. But the mixed vegetables
oh,
are...
Oh, we have a caller who wants to talk about...
Ooh, somebody could have talked turkey.
Cooking a turkey in the last 4 minutes. Now I got to see if I remember how to do this.
Maybe it's a
I
chef.
Do this.
Maybe it's
a chef.
Caller?
No, yeah.
Are you there?
And hopefully they'll say basting is fine.
He like ran in and out of here so quick. Do I have to hit another
did
button?
Did you... Let's see. Did you... Aux? Maybe aux. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, Chuck.
How you doing?
Good.
How do you cook your turkey?
We used to work on a railroad track, right?
Yes.
And down by the Culinary Institute, there was a guy walking down the tracks one day, we were talking, and he told me you should always cook your turkey instead of flat, you know, when you just lay it in the pan.
Yeah.
Flip it over. And all the juices go into that white meat and doesn't make it dry.
I do have that here in my notes that
that's
people do
tip.
Do that. And it does work, yes.
Have you done it before?
I have done it before, but the issue is it's so cumbersome.
You know, hard to lift a turkey.
Yeah, and then when you have it oiled, I mean, people... I hate to say it, but most of the time you have the moms in there doing the turkey, and they don't want to fumble around, and it gets slippery. But you're right. In my notes, I do have it here, and I have done it once before. But it is a process to flip it over and have all the juices go into the breast.
Well, that's why I always use people all the time basting, because they're trying to make the white meat dry.
Yes.
I mean,
moist. So you start it one way, and then halfway through you flip it? Is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you put a Granny Smith apple, and a piece of garlic, and some onion.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Well, that's why my breast did not get brown that year, because I left it upside down the whole time.
Oh, so you,
you just taught me something, Chuck. Maybe I'll try that with my second turkey.
Well, thanks for calling in, Chuck. And so you heard this on the railroad? Is that what you heard?
Yeah, from a guy that worked. He was walking the tracks because he was going to school in Culinary Institute in Poughkeepsie.
Wow. Uh-huh. Very interesting.
You always got to use brown cider.
Okay.
Brown cider.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
No water.
Right.
Oh,
for extra flavor. Are you cooking next week, Chuck?
No.
No. He said that very emphatically.
Are you
going
to
no.
go to the Episcopal Church for the free dinner?
Christ Church.
No.
Are you eating anything on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, people are coming here.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay,
very
good.
Good.
All right.
Good.
So
well, thank you
over.
For calling in with your turkey tips.
Good idea, huh?
Absolutely.
Yes, very good idea.
I'm going to try that very carefully. And if it drops on the floor, there's a 5-second rule, right?
Blame Chuck.
Time, that's all.
We'll blame you next show if she drops it.
Thanks for listening, Chuck.
Oh, he hung
that
up on us.
Nice.
Bye, Chuck. Thank you.
Yeah,
so and you should really have your things all together now. I have done no shopping for Thanksgiving, but according to my timeline and Food Network, you should have everything that you need right now. Do you guys have all your groceries?
I have my turkey.
I have nothing.
And I'll get the rest of the stuff over the weekend.
Do you do frozen or fresh turkey?
Frozen.
Yeah.
Frozen, yeah.
We do fresh.
You do fresh.
You do?
Yes.
Is
and
it the Keeler
my wife
turkey?
And I had this conversation.
Keeler turkey?
It's a Keeler turkey, yes. Kathy and I talked about it this morning. She has grocery shopping to do yet. So,
okay.
No, she doesn't have her
okay. And do you have Kara taking all the pictures?
Absolutely.
Very
she's
good.
So talented.
Yes.
Shout out to Kara Keeler.
Yes.
She's one of our best photographers here in
does
the county.
Does a great job with her pictures.
Yes.
Absolutely. A lot of
she
fun.
She will be there.
That's good.
She'll be there. Yep. All right.
Well, thank you, PJ, for stopping in and telling us all about what's going on. And
anytime.
Good job. We're happy you're there, keeping an eye on things. Thanks
good
for breezing in there, Justin.
Thanks.
We'll be back on, let's see, it'll be November, if I can get to my calendar.
28th?
Quickly, yep, November 28th. So we do want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We hope you enjoy.
And a safe one.
And a safe one, absolutely, that's right. So our guest on November 28th will hopefully be Mayor Rick Rector, who's going to talk about the state of the city of Hudson and some of the other goings-ons that have been happening. So